Is there anyone else who would like to let us know they are on the call? Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. We welcome you once again. And today we have a wonderful class by His Grace Naveen Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, are you on the call?
Hare Krishna, Pisakshamaham Bolo Bhishe, this is Rogosha Prabhupada, Skavish to Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Gurudev. Thank you, Prabhuji. And you can take over the call, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritam Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvati Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Naspreshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavate Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhakti Bhavate Naishtaki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 32, and the text is 37. Pravucham Bhakti Yogasya Sarupam Te Chatur Vidham Kalasyaha Chavyaktaha Gater Yo Antaradhavati Gyatushu. So translation. Pravocham explained. Bhakti Yogasya of devotional service. Swarupam, the identity. Te, to you. Chatu Vidham, in four divisions. Kalasya, of time. Cha, also. Avyaktaha gatahe, the movement of which is imperceptible. Yaha, which antarbhavati chases. Jatushtu, the living entities. Translation. Vice Creative Ashila Popat ki jai. My dear mother, I have explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different social divisions. I have explained to you as well how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. The process of a bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the main river flowing down towards the sea of the Absolute Truth. And all other processes mentioned are just like tributaries. Lord Kapila is summarizing the importance of the process of devotional service. Bhakti Yoga, as described before, is divided into four divisions. Three is in the mode three in the material modes of nature, and one in transcendence, which is untinged by the modes of material nature. Devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature is a means for material existence, whereas devotional service without desires for fruity result and without attempts for empirical philosophical research is pure transcendental devotional service. Om Adhyana Tinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuni Tamyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sacha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunantam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sacha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विशाभानुसुत देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये पंच कल्पतरुभ्यश्च च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर सेवा श्री गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we can see that Kapil Muni is concluding his teachings, and as he expresses to her mother that bhakti is the topmost path, and the other paths are like tributaries to the main river of bhakti. Also, in the three previous verses, the verse 32 to 36 is three verses, they are the different scriptural paths are explained. And these spiritual paths are explained according to the ashramas, the main duties of the householders, the main duties of the brahmachari, gestas, vanaprastas, and the sannyas. It's good to connect with those verses in respect to this one. So I'm just touching base a little bit. So the main activities for householders is to perform pious actions, like, you know, the feeding others, like I always mentioned that before Igrasta, in the old days, the Vedic time, the householder, the head of the house, will go on top of the house and then call for anybody who's hungry and before he eats. So always performing this type of action and sacrifices, performing five sacrifices, they perform yagyas every day, and the old days will perform every day. And performing charity. So all these are the three types of activities that are prescribed for the householder: pious actions, sacrifices, and charity. So for the vanaprastha, the main activities, does that mean that other activities are not meant for gyastas? But these are the main principal ones. They focus on around that. So the Grihastha ashram is focused around these activities, pious activities, sacrifices, and charity. Because the Grihastha ashram is meant to support all the other three ashramas. The Grihastha ashram is meant to support the Brahmachari ashram, the Vanaprastha ashram, and the Sannyasa ashram. The other qualities also will be performed, like austerities, like renunciation, detachment, also there in the Grihastha ashram. But these are the three main topic that is being more emphasized in Grihastha ashram. And as is according to the first verse, of the series of three verses, previous verses, text 34. kriyayah katubir dhanas tapa shvadhaya marshanah atmendriya janetpi sanyasena cha karmanam. That one. So pious activities, sacrifices, charities, these are the main topic for householders. Now, if we come to vanaprastha, their austerity is the main thing. There are as well, like study and discussion, shastric, these also there. Charity also is there. Pious activities also there. Everything is there, but mostly is considered to be more austere. Austerity is for the vanaprastha. And shastra, jnana, adhyana. Adhyan means study. So shastra is meant for the brahmacharis. The brahmachari ashram, the study and discussion. The word in the shloka is swadhaya. You know, in DC days, it's cooked, this famous group called Swadhai. In the Gujarati community, they have Swadhai. I forgot the person who is the leader, he passed away. But they had a very nice way of studying the scripture. So study and discussion are the Vedic literatures that are meant for the brahmachari ashram. And for the sannyas, for the renounced order, control of the mind and senses and renunciation from all duties are meant for the sannyasi. More or less, all these four ashramas, they are performing these different activities that I mentioned in different degrees. Right? Pious activities, sacrifices, charities, austerity, study, sannyasi also studies, discussion of the Vedas, control senses, practice of various anga of yogas, and bhakti, all these things. But these are the prominent ones. So the sannyasi will see this is a prominent thing for them to control their mind and senses and to renounce all duties. The sannyasi doesn't have any duties towards anybody. When I mean duties, like, and it's no duty towards son, wife, husband, samaj, nothing. It's completely renounced. It's just one duty to serve the Lord, to carry the Lord's mission of reclaiming the souls back home to Godhead. That's the only duty. So, bhakti yoga, We'll see in the next verse of after 35th verse, yogena vidhangena bhakti yogena chevahi dharmapyaha chenayaha praviti nivrittama. So in this context we see that bhakti yogena cha. Bhakti yogena chevahi bhakti yogena. So it will be, these are bhakti, but with other things. More like bhakti mixed, that bhakti mixed with some duties, bhakti mixed with other things. So the householder is performing bhakti, but the bhakti is mixed with pious activities. The bhakti is mixed with sacrifices. The bhakti is mixed with charities performed. So everybody is performing some activity, but it's mixed. But in this verse 37, we are talking about pure bhakti. Devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature is a means of material existence. Whereas devotional service without desires for fruitive results and without attempts for empirical research is pure transcendental devotional service. So we have to be able to reach that stage of transcendence. In a Nectar of a Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, chapter 1, text 234, it says, for self-realization, Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grayam Indriya Sevana Mukehi Jivadho Swayam Eva Spurate Adaha. Translation, no one can understand the transcendental nature of name, form, quality, and pastime of Shri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. So, we can't understand Krishna completely until our senses are spiritualized. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord, all the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. See, this is very, very important. The name, the form, the quality, and the pastimes of the Lord is revealed. Remember that. We are not like Jnana yogis, Karma yogis, and Dhyana yogis who try to achieve transcendence through an ascending process. No, we practice bhakti in the mood, in the hope, and with the faith that the Lord's name, form, quality, and pastime will be revealed. We are in that mood. So, this can only happen when our senses are saturated by transcendental service to the Lord. So, that's a very important point when we talk about transcendental devotional service. We have to be engaged to that extent of saturation. Now, a question is, how come we can be saturated when we have to take care? No, I suppose most of us are gyanis on the call. We all are gyanis mostly. Is any brahmachari on the call? Anybody? Hare Krishna. Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Anyway, so the point is, it's so hard for householders, since we mentioned that the mixing of the household action with bhakti is mishra bhakti. So there are the sacrifices there, we have the pious activities there, the charity there, all this mishra bhakti takes place in the householder ashram. So it's to be completely saturated in transcendental devotional service, we are looking up to another ashram. We have to take shelter of another ashram to achieve that. unless we are like, unless like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's so many other examples of those Mahan Grihasthas. But we can't imitate them. We can't imitate Tukaram. We can't imitate the Krishna Das, the one who used to sell leaf plates. We can't imitate those personalities. So, to be able to be completely saturated in devotional service at this stage, at least we can perform Mishra with the hope of renunciation to the next ashrama. That's why these ashramas are there, the Brahmacharya ashram, the Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, sannyasa. That's why the Vanaprastha ashram is there. So the householder is performing this Mishra Bhakti in the hope that when the person reaches Vanaprastha, he will practice austerity, but which he will become liberated from all attachment. And by the time he reaches sannyas, he will be completely saturated with a transcendental devotional service. That is the gradual upliftment and the gradual path towards pure transcendental devotional service. So if we analyze these verses, these very important verses in the Bhagavatam, these three verses, text 34 to 36, very, very important to understand that. And this is explained by our dear Kapila Dev, these four types of bhakti. And it explained in our verse today, Provocha Bhakti Yogasya Sarupam Te Chaturvidham. In these four divisions, and my dear mother, I have explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different social divisions. In
Grihastha, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas.
These four different social divisions. And I have explained to you as well as how eternal time is chasing the living entities. We'll come to that. Let us finish with these four social divisions. So, the verse 36, the one before that, it says, Atma Tattva Bodhina Vairagena Dridena Cha. Yate Bhagavan Ibhi Saguna Nirgunaha Swadrik. So, in that in this verse, it's more about the Vairagina, the strong sense of detachment. This strong sense of detachment is important for the science of self-realization and in developing the understanding of the process of self-realization. And that's more exhibited in the sannyas ashram. So this word evahi is very important here. This indicates the limitation and certainty. We are limited. We can do that much. In each ashrama, we have our limitations. But we should not forget one thing. Our process is Devavanasham. There's a difference between the normal Vanashan Dharma and the Deva Vanashan Dharma. The Deva Vanashan Dharma, we have Krishna at the center. So irrespective of being a Girasta, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, Vanaprastha, irrespective of those, we have to put Krishna in the center. Having Krishna in the center, that's our certainty. We will certainly be. Suppose somebody can ask me, okay, I couldn't reach sannyas. I'm this much of age, and I have to leave the body soon, and I'm still in the Grihastha ashram. So, what will happen to me? Can I achieve the transcendence? We can achieve transcendence. Why not? We can still achieve transcendence if we're completely absorbed in transcendent devotional service. So that's the advantage we have, is that we practice Deva Vanasham Dharma, where our whole life and whole existence, even in the Grihastha ashram, is revolving around Krishna. And that's thanks to Srila Prabhupada, we're able to do that. It's very, very difficult to do that in other practices. But thanks to Srila Prabhupada that we're able to perform that. So irrespective of the ashramas, we have a certainty to become self-realized. And that's only because of Krishna in our life. So how much you become surrendered to Krishna, that's more important. How much we are surrendered to Krishna in Brahmacharya ashram, how much we are surrendered to Krishna in Grihastha ashram, how much we are surrendered to Krishna in Vanaprastha ashram, how much we are surrendered to Krishna in Sannyasa ashram. That is more important than anything else. Krishna says that I reward you according to your surrender. Imam Bhajante, Bhajante Imam. So, that is the certainty that's given in the verse. Eva hi, bhakti yogena chevaihi. So, that's the result of bhakti. If we perform bhakti, that's the result we get. So the other thing that we wanted to point out in this verse is time. Srila Prabhupada nicely explains that although it is imperceptible to us, time is chasing us. We don't have control on time. We don't have control on that. See, people grew up from childhood to young adult and then to adult to old age. People in life, they tend to have control. When they grow up and as an adult, they usually have control of their life. And when we have control and we have confidence of our life, what we do, we don't let go. It's very hard for people to let go. But at some point, when things are out of our control, then we become so affected by that. And we become very depressed or sad, or different types of emotions come. But that's a way for nature to teach us that one day or the other we have to let go. So, time, it teaches us that we have to let go. And that humbles us. That makes us more humble and more surrendered to Krishna. As long as we can still cling on certain things in the material world, it's so hard to achieve pure transcendental devotional service. Queen Kunti said that as long as we have material dependence, as long as we have certain hope in this material world, we can never approach Krishna with sincere feelings. So, Kapil Muni summarizes his bhakti yoga and the other processes in these verses. And consolidates bhakti yoga. And Kapil Muni shows that we, although we may not be qualified for these teachings, right, but with our sincerity, by performing our respective duties in our ashramas, and of course by serving our spiritual master, we will be able to achieve with certainty the fruits of bhakti. And later on, we'll see how Kapil Muni guards us about this knowledge and tells us that we'll see that, just like we say, we recite the Ten Dharma Prats, we say that it is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name to faithless person. So we'll see later that how Kapil Muni talks about how teaching this knowledge, how to teach this knowledge, especially for those who have faith in Krishna. So I'll end here, and I'll take some questions and comments from all of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu, very much. Looks like you're not feeling well today.
Yeah, I've got cold, fever, everything. So cold here in this area.
We appreciate still you took the lecture, Prabhu. Thank you very much. My humble best wishes to you.
Thank you for inspiring me, Prabhu. You guys all are here.
It's always nice to hear your voice. Very calming and very knowledgeable. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments, questions?
Hare. I hope you feel better soon. I have one small question. If it's okay.
Yes,
Bhaktivedanta. You mentioned about austerity should be performed by the Manaprastha, so could you explain in a little detail what kind of austerities? Thank you.
Yes, Mataji. So, what is interesting is that I always mention that the ashramas, they are places of shelter. So we take shelter of the social system, right, at different stages. So that ashrama provides us a platform, a social platform for us to act, but to act properly according to time and second place, but to act properly in our particular ashrama. And each ashrama is a preparation for the next. So the Brahmachari ashrama is a preparation for the Grihastha, Grihastha is a preparation for Vanaprastha, Vanaprastha is a preparation for Sannyasa. So talking for the Vanaprastha ashrama, it's a preparation for Sannyasa. It's very, very difficult to renounce duties Because throughout all our life, we've been performing duties. We've been performing duties to our kids, our parents, our society and everything. So it's very hard to get rid of that accomplishment, because once you perform a certain duty, you get certain satisfaction. So the source of satisfaction should be Krishna only, on the pure transcendental platform, which is yet to be reached. Now, our source of satisfaction is our performance of duty towards our children. We feel relieved, oh, we performed this, we bought this food, and then we offer to Krishna, and then we feed our children. We feel pleased and relieved and satisfied. In Sannyasa Ashram, directly the satisfaction would come only to Krishna, has to come only by pleasing Krishna, and nothing else. So it's very hard to achieve that level of renouncing our duties. So Vanaprastha Ashrama is a platform for training to achieve that level of renunciation. So instead of serving performing our duties towards our family, our close related persons, which we are more involved in Grihastha Ashram, the householder, we become more involved in serving the society, samaj seva. So that's a platform where we become renounced, a bit detached from the family connections, areas, and make more involved in the society. So by performing that, we become a bit more selfless. So serving society is really selfless service. So as devotees, we have different types of activities like food for life, book distribution, which are more, we perform by Brahmachari Ashram as well, Grihastha Ashram as well, but more, the Vanaprastha is more dedicated to the service of the society in that sense, with more detachment. So the whole idea is to reach that level of freedom from the duties. And what will happen is that austerity is a main force behind those activities. Because Srila Prabhupada will say purity the force, right? We say books are the basis, preaching is the essence, duty is the principle, and purity the force. So purity is always there in different ashramas. But here is austerity. We have to be more austere, because that's the level, because we're going to transcend to the level of renunciation, which is completely austere. So it's a training in Vanaprastha Ashram for austerity. So we'll not eat as much as we used to eat. They will be very in Vrindavan. See, some of the Vanaprastha, they will perform Madhukari. Madhukari is that they must go out and beg for food, and whatever they get, they will eat. Some of people will eat only once a day, you know, like that. But usually sannyasi, they eat only once. I've seen sannyasi, they eat only once, main meal. And the other times, they will take some nuts or something else. So it will be more, the bodily demands will be reduced. Right? So it starts with food. The tongue. As it says in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, it says, Jiva eva yatha garyam madhuryam tasya na parai. This jiva eva yatha, the tongue. The tongue alone and other sense can perceive the sweet taste. this tongue, we can Sharirabhya Jal, we also say this body is, we always recite this prayer. But this tongue can be engaged in chanting Krishna, taking Krishna prasad, doing Krishna katha, right? So the main idea is to very austere. So Sriman Srila Prabhupada, when he was staying in Radha Damodar temple, Srila Prabhupada, there would be a Vaishnava festival, they would have a feast in the Angan, in the temple area. And then Srila Prabhupada will go out after the feast and take a little bit of prasad and then eat. So that is the whole idea, is to reduce the bodily needs. And that starts from the senses. When we reduce the bodily needs in the Vanaprastha Ashrama, and then we can become more strong in our mind. So that's a preparation to become renounced, and that's a preparation to control the mind as strongly as possible for the Vanaprastha, for the Sannyasa Ashram. Because as I mentioned before, the main thing for Sannyas Ashrama is about controlling the mind and senses and renouncing all duties. Okay, Mataji, that's, I hope.
Thank you very much, Sabuji. And sorry that I asked a question and you have to go on talking. So please forgive me.
No. Any other question or comments from anybody?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. I didn't have any comment. Yeah, but last week you asked us to remind about the question you asked.
Yeah. I wanted you faithful. It's chapter 6. Which chapter it was? The verse?
I think 6. It's a long verse, yeah. That multiple verses were there.
Yeah, 6. What it is? Can you tell me? Are you gonna 6.11?
I forgot. It was,
yeah, it was 6. Something. I also forgot. I told you to remind me. Remember?
Yeah.
I think it is 6.6. I think. Huh? I don't know, but. Maybe next time you tell me, next week.
Please. Okay, I'll find out next time. Yeah.
Oh, I got it. It's 6.22 and 23. That's a very nice one. Yeah, let's just do this a little bit. So I'll read the verse. 6.22 and 23 together. Yatro paramatehe chittam nirudham yoga sevaya yatra cheva atmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati sukam atyantikam yattat buddhi graham atindriyam veti yatraha naha chevayam sitas chalati tatpataha yam labdhava chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tataha yasmin stito na dukhena gurunapi vichalvyate tam vidyad dukha sam yoga viyogam yoga sam gitam. So this is text 20 to 23, chapter 6. So I read the translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. That's very beautiful. I think you guys should frame this verse and translation, put on your fridge and read that every day. And that is being situated in the transcendental platform of devotional service. This is how you feel. But this is the perfection of yoga, but it's true in the practice of bhakti also is there. But it's all in relation, the same thing, the same trance, but it's in relation with Krishna. If I may read the last of the purport, I won't, if the purport is long, but I'll read the last part of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, as long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. But a person who is in pure bhakti yoga, or in Krishna consciousness, does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of a bad bargain, and enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is callous toward incidental occurrences such as accidents, disease, scarcity, and even death of the most dear relative. This is Srila Prabhupada saying this. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. Accidents never deviate him from his duty, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 14. Agama payinho anityas tamsatiktikshavashvaha bharata. He endures all such incidental occurrences because he knows that they come and go and do not affect his duties. In this way, he achieves the highest perfection in yoga practice. So, the point is, that was a training. We need this training. So, in our Grihastha ashram, so, if something bad happens to our dear ones, we feel affected. It's natural. Naturally, but because we are not situated at that level of transcendence to be not affected. But these things don't come artificially. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. If we practice our bhakti nicely, then we can reach that level of transcendence where we won't be affected and will be situated properly in transcendence. So these are the qualities that we have to look for of a pure mind. This perfection is characterized by its ability to see the self by the pure mind. So just like I mentioned that not until and unless these senses are absorbed become saturated in transcendental devotional service, we won't be able to achieve that level of transcendence where we won't be affected. So that's why devotional service, this verse from Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, 1.2.234, right? Again, I will repeat. 1.2.234 that I mentioned in the beginning. Atashi Krishna Nama Adina Bhavid. Kriyam indraya sevanamukehi jivaho soyam eva spurate adaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, and quality of the pastimes of Shri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. So even in our Grihastha ashram, we have to do our best to always remain saturated in the service of Krishna. See? So that's you guys doing good, chanting every morning, doing deity worship, offering your food at home, teaching Krishna consciousness to the children. So that's how we become saturated. Take out the Bollywood out, you know, from your life. If you take out Bollywood out of your life, you take out the politics in the world out of your life, by reducing all those unnecessary disturbance, you become perfect. I was listening to one of one speech given by some famous. His name is John Kaufman, somebody like that. He was mentioning that usually they did a research that any task, any skills, if you want to be perfect in the skills, it takes 10,000 10,000 hours, something like that. 10,000 hours to become perfect. They analyze this one, Mr. Erickson in University of Florida. He did this research by analyzing the lives of the best, topmost golfer, topmost sportsmen, topmost businessmen in their lives, and how they attain perfection in their respective field. And they did this research and find out it takes like 10,000, almost 10,000 hours. Then he was saying that this is not fair. We should try to do. This is not possible. We have to. If I want to be good at and learning a new skill, it should be different. So he did some research and he find out it takes only 20 hours something, 20 days or 20 hours. Something. I don't remember. I'm remembering, but it takes 20 hours, some hours. But there is a natural process for that. The natural process is, first is that you have to know your goal, what you want to achieve. Just like in bhakti, we have to know what is our goal. Second is, you have to dedicate yourself. Right? Yeah, actually it's 40 minutes. He dedicated 40 minutes, so it's like 20 hours. So he dedicated 40 minutes every day to learn the new skill for 5 days continuously. So 40 minutes every day for 5 days, right? That's 20 hours, right? So, no, I don't know. Do the math. I'm not feeling well, so you guys do the math. So, first is to know the goal. Second is to dedicate 40 minutes every day. And the third thing is to reduce any distraction coming in the way. So for the bhakti also the same thing. If we reduce any distraction coming in our way, then we will become good, we will be able to master our bhakti yoga nicely. That's the point I wanted to make. So while you perform bhakti, there's so many distractions. And one of our famous distractions is Bollywood, that I like to mention. See, you know, there are so many other distractions, but this is the main. And all other things are there. The Democrats are there, the Republicans also are there. So all these are different things in our lives are there. But if we reduce those distractions, those interferences, then we'll attain to that stage of perfection in bhakti. Okay? Haribol?
Thank you, Prabhuji. I think that's a very important point. You mentioned that, you know, reading news is, every day actually is a big distraction. And besides Bollywood, so many,
yeah. Yeah, because I see in the verse today, this is how we are not able to understand that time is chasing after us. But the verse today says that the Prabhupada is translating, saying, what says, Prabhupada saying, I have explained to you as well as how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. That's what makes we are in illusion, and that we can't perceive how time is chasing us. So if we realize that time is chasing us, like the death, the mouth of death is chasing us. It's like the cat is chasing after the mouse. So now we realize that we won't lose time in Grahamikata. We will spend more time in Krishna Katha instead of Grahana Katha. So we will become more serious, and then we will try to avoid those distractions in our path. And then we can reach that stage of transcendental, pure transcendental devotional service. Why not? We can still do it in our Grahastha Ashram. We don't need to reach that. We have hope, certainty is there, but we can still, we can't imitate Tukaram and all these personalities, but still we can try to achieve. There's no harm in trying to achieve that. So reduce our distractions in bhakti. That's a good a New Year resolution for everyone this year. Okay, this new, my New Year resolution this year is to reduce the distractions from bhakti. I want example. I won't watch Super Bowl. Super Bowl, I never had any inclination towards this football stuff. But here I remember when I was head pujari, some pujari used to come and service from outside, so would tell me before, oh, this Sunday I won't come, there's Super Bowl. You see, I couldn't understand that. Okay, why? So what is so special with this Super Bowl that they can't come and do arti for Madan Mohan? I couldn't understand that. I never could understand that. So, by the way, the Super Bowl is over or still coming? Anybody know? Anil Babu?
I think it is typically at the end of January. I don't know. I don't track. I don't watch it off. So I have no idea.
So that's one example I'm giving. There are so many things that will distract us from our path of bhakti in this material world. So we should try to take the help of devotees. That's why sadhu sangha is very important. So we have to take the help of association, associating good devotees who are walking on this path and trying to achieve perfection. And stay on the path and avoid all these distractions of bhakti. In the material world, people are able to master material things in 20 hours, 40 days, 40 minutes every day. So why we can't achieve perfection for bhakti? With the mercy, of course, our spiritual master, and Krishna is all there. So it's possible. It's not impossible. Certainty is there. Evahi, Bhagavatam says, certainty is there. Certainly achieve. So Krishna gave his word. He will certainly come to me. Why that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Anil Prabhu, where it's mentioned that Krishna says, give the guarantee that certainly you come to me?
I think there are many verses.
There's one special one. I mentioned that last time. I forgot.
Hmm.
in chapter 10. Which verse it is?
Sarva dharman paritejya vamekam
sharanam. Yeah, sarva dharman paritejya is there, but...
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, maybe you think maybe Daivi Hesha Gunamai, Mama Maya. Yeah,
that's...
Papadinti Maya Metam Tarantite. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for mentioning this. My Guru Maharaj always say this verse. So, Krishna is giving the guarantee that we will come to him. So, why being affected by the distractions? So, any other questions? Any questions? I'll take the 8, but if we have 2 minutes, I'll take one more question. No question. So we'll end here then if there's no question. So please accept my humble obeisances and please forgive me if I commit any offenses towards all of you, and I'm not feeling so well also, so if I mistake, I said something which is not good, please forgive me. And one check on person pass in a particular hump up and a view. Vaishnavyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you haven't done anything.